from the heart of the Forest City, this is a Craig Needles podcast brought to you by Lexus of London. Now here's your host, Craig Needles.
Yes, it is the Craig Needles podcast and it's brought to you by Lexus of London. It's kind of a three-headed monster on the podcast this week. You're going to hear my interview with Rob Thompson, who is the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Rob and I had a chance to chat earlier today. We're going to talk a little bit about Bill 23 and what's going on over at Queen's Park, but I want to begin this edition of the podcast by talking about a film that is going to be shown here in London this weekend. And if you don't know about it, it's a fascinating documentary. It's called The Cannons, and it is about a young group of black hockey players in the longest-serving minority hockey program anywhere in North America. It's the Fort DuPont Hockey Cannons, and that's in Washington, D.C. So we've got the directors and the producers of the film on the podcast with us to have a conversation about that today. Steve Hoffner and A.J. Messier, thank you both of you very much for coming on the podcast and talking with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Craig. It's awesome to be here.
So we've got a screening coming up in London this weekend. AJ, a bit of a homecoming for you because you went to school here at Western.
Yeah, Craig. I grew up in Oak Ridge, and I went to high school in John Paul II. Then I followed that with going to Western for a double degree. First one was in history, and the second was in film studies. And, you know, somewhere along the way, I ended up becoming a photographer. I don't know how that really happened, but I did, and never really picked up anything. Definitely didn't do anything in history, but never picked up the film studies until probably 6 or 7 years ago when Steve brought this film to me. By then, I'd moved to Toronto and started working as a photographer. I run a photography studio called Hogtown Studios in downtown Toronto. And when Steve brought this to me, I was pretty much all in from the very get-go, and it's just been a pretty long, you know, pretty wonderful and very, very difficult journey, that's for sure. But it's nice to kind of bring it home. I think that was one of our goals, or at least one of my goals. I know some of our goals was to get into film festivals, which we can talk about. But I always wanted to have a showing in London and have a showing, not necessarily at the Highland. I didn't really think about it at the time, but I'm very honored and happy to show it there.
Yeah. We'll talk about sort of the whens and wheres of that in a second. But Stephen, I want you to tell me about the movie. Tell me about the documentary. Tell me about The Cannons.
Well, it's been almost a 3-year journey making this film. AJ and I, you know, spent out of pocket to create this film. We were flying in and out from Washington, D.C., from Toronto, and basically we were just enthralled by this amazing club that is in the heart of Southeast Washington, D.C., as you mentioned, the Fort DuPont Hockey Cannons. And this club is, in many ways, a place for these young men and women to, hide from a lot of the danger that is around them. And in many ways, it's a sanctuary, and led by Coach Neil Henderson, who is this unbelievable figure and amazing man who volunteered over 40 years of his life to volunteering for the Cannons program. And we also follow two senior boys in our program who are in their final year of high school. One wants to be a police officer. One wants to pursue their hockey dreams. So in many ways, it's sort of like a Hoop Dreams, but with hockey. But it is a very social political film in many ways, obviously being Black Americans during this time is you can't not be political. So, you know, it is a very impactful film. You know, we've been lucky enough to play and have our world premiere at Doc NYC, which is the biggest film festival for documentaries in the United States. And now we're touring the film and we're sort of wrapping up our film festival theatrical tour. And what better way than to cap that off in London, Ontario?
It seems like a fascinating story to me that, let's be honest here, hockey is associated with, for the most part, and there are some guys who are not white guys who have been NHL stars, but hockey is associated for the most part as a white sport, and that's not the case here. So what was diving into that particular section of the sport and of the team and of the story like?
Well, I think, Craig, when Steve kind of approached me with the story, it was a very obvious narrative that we were not really familiar with or had seen a lot of. And I think that's when you're trying to tell a story, you don't want to tell a story that's been done before. And we did that. We did that without knowing any of the characters that were in the film. And then once we went down to DC and, you know, we walked into the Fort DuPont Arena parking lot one August afternoon, Monday, I think it was, and it was like 120 degrees. And we just saw all these kids, you know, running around pylons and doing calisthenics. And I would say, you know, we keep saying it's a black hockey team, but it is for the most part. You know, there's a white coach, John Connors, and then there's a lot of different races that are in the program. It's more of like an all-inclusive program than just a black minority, but it did start out as that. And we saw this just unique team, this like, you know, coach refers to it as, you know, his family is like a rainbow and his team reflects his family. This team is a beautiful team that I had never seen before. And I grew up in London playing hockey, and I knew right away that I thought this was a story that really should be told. And then once we started to meet the kids and meet the coaches and the parents, like it was very easy to just jump behind.
Steve, tell me about Neil Henderson, who is the coach of this program and was the founder of this program in 1978. Tell me more about Neil.
Well, you know, Neil was a former pro hockey player. Obviously, at that time, race was a very big determinant, whether how far you could go in the game. And in some ways, I guess you could argue still to this day is a factor. But, you know, Neil went only so far, but he played professionally, I think, for like, you know, 20 years or something like that. And he then decided to open this program in Southeast DC. And he realized that this, you know, these young, often African-American young men with not a lot of money in their pocket, learning the game, you know, showing up at the rink, wanting to, you know, check out what was going on. And at that time, they weren't even allowed in the rink. There wasn't a lot of inclusivity with the sport. And Neil was a person that allowed them an opportunity to play. And he has a mantra that he never turns anybody away. Everybody is welcome in the Canons. And, you know, although, you know, we can talk about all the rainbows of what this program represents, but it is a tough area. You know, this is one of the most dangerous areas in America, still is, but especially in the 80s when Washington, D.C. was the murder capital of the United States. So this team became very important to that area. And Neil Henderson is a big reason why a lot of these men and women grew up to be outstanding citizens, because he kept them into their books and kept them on skates as opposed to on the streets.
You've done the documentary Junket, if you will, and you've brought the film to a bunch of different places where it's been screened for a whole lot of different audiences. What has the reaction been like to the Canons?
Well, it's been tremendous. The reaction has been really, really well. It's just been, you know, often when the movie's done, there's not many dry eyes in the house. It is a very emotional film. It's a heartwarming film. But, you know, it's real. It's gritty. You know, it was always our intention to have that. So to combine that with something that's heartwarming, you know, it's been really tremendous. And so we're very close to signing with a distributor to hopefully have this seen en masse in North America. So yeah, it's been very well received.
And so how did this movie get made? Because you mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of that goes into making a documentary, and there's a lot of people who have big names who are attached to this project. So how did it all work out?
Well, you know, I worked for the National Hockey League for over 10 years as a producer and director for NHL Studios. And I was introduced to this club by my good friend Kevin Weeks, who's a former NHL goalie. He's now an analyst on ESPN. And, you know, he obviously is a person of color and a groundbreaking individual at that. So, you know, to have that intro from him was really important. And, you know, just having this, you know, and it's an important topic that I'm sure AJ can touch upon too. But, you know, being two white guys from Canada making a movie in the United States about a black hockey club was also controversial. And, you know, we wanted to ask ourselves, are we the right people to do this? And, you know, just given our hockey pedigree, that's what drew us to this story. But we really embedded ourselves with that community, made sure that we were accepted before we were able to take on this such a project.
Yeah. And I'm glad that you were able to do that and sort of, get sort of the lay of the land, sort of the read as to what was going on before you started filming here. I'm sure that made it for a better documentary as well, sort of getting to know the people involved that way.
100%. AJ, really, you want to take that?
Sorry, Steve. Sure, buddy. I think it was. I mean, I think obviously when we first started off, it was very, very interesting. And the first week that we were there, coach had said to the kids in the practice, you know, these guys have come all the way up here from Toronto. You know, you respect them like you respect me. You give them their full attention. You answer their questions honestly. And we'll see how this turns out. And, you know, over the course of the next 18 months, you know, we embedded ourselves with them, with their community, with the team, and especially with our characters, our, you know, coach and Rob Lynch and Ravon Hall's families. We ended up spending Thanksgiving with them and with Christmas with them, and we became, you know, a part of their family. And so much so that, it, you know, in the past summer, we've unfortunately lost coach's wife, which was a tough haul. But, you know, out of that, I was asked to be a pallbearer at the funeral. So they became, you know, more family members than just characters in our movie. And that definitely helped with our access and helped with our storytelling.
Yeah, certainly. So it's being screened at the Highland this coming Saturday. Tell me about the details of when that's going to happen and how it's all going to work.
So it's Saturday, 6:30 p.m. That is our screen time. Doors open, I think, around 6:15 or 6 p.m. I'm not 100% sure on that. I do apologize. But the movie runtime is 87 minutes. And then we will have a 30-minute Q&A with myself. Unfortunately, Steve won't be in London. He'll be out of town. So it'll just be me on stage, which, as you can figure out, I can hold myself rather well.
Yeah, that's,
so
that's good.
It'll be me, and I think it'll be narrated. It'll be narrated by a couple kids from Fanshawe Film Program that will be in the house, and they volunteered to grill me about the making of the film and to try and find out any insight that maybe we left off with you.
Steve, before we wrap up here, when people watch the film, what's the thing they should be looking for? What's sort of the mindset they should have as the documentary gets started?
Get ready for a whirlwind of emotion. You know, I think a lot of people walk in into thinking that this is just a sports movie and that this is just going to be about hockey. And it's much more than that. It's a human story. It's touching. It can also be gut-wrenching in many ways. And I think that when people watch this film, they realize that, you know, this neighborhood and this club and some of these individuals, their reality is much different than what we have here. And I think it's important to learn from that, to grow and to obviously be entertained. But it's a whirlwind of emotion. I think that would be my world of advice.
And AJ, last thing before we wrap up, like you said, you were hoping to get a screening in London. You got one at the Highland, which is to me is a phenomenal theater for something like this. What are you going to be thinking on Saturday while that movie's getting screened?
To be honest, I'm actually quite, I'm a little nervous, very anxious about it. I've got a lot of friends that are coming that I've not seen in a few years, you know, with COVID and all that other stuff. You know, being in a theater with a lot of people is not something that we've done a lot of, but it's going to feel great. You know, I don't know how I'm going to feel. I really know that I'm going to have a lot of butterflies and I'll be very excited, I think, once we hit play and everything kind of rolls out smoothly. And then I'll be very happy probably around 9 p.m. when I may just crawl up into a ball and cry to bed, cry to sleep. I don't know. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm very, very nervous.
Steve, AJ, thank you so much for doing this. Thank you for having the conversation with us. We definitely appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Craig.
That's Steve Hoffner and AJ Messier, who are the directors and producers of The Cannons, which you can see coming up this Saturday at Highland Cinema. You heard the times. If you have any questions about that, send me a tweet. It's going to be in the description link of this podcast as well, the link to buy tickets. So thank you very much to those guys for doing this. More of the Craig Needles podcast, which of course you could find at classicrock981.com and londonnewstoday.ca, coming up just seconds from now. The Craig Needles podcast is brought to you by Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at the award-winning Lexus of London. Luxury redefined. Find them at 1065 Warrencliffe Road South and online at lexusoflondon.com. Want to play for you a very brief conversation I had today with Rob Thompson, who, of course, is the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. He grew up in Sarnia. He grew up playing ball all over this province in the Intercounty League, playing with Stratford, but of course he played up against the London Majors and the teams that are very much still in the league today. And I had a chance to talk with Rob about that quickly. He was at a luncheon today with the folks with the London Sports Association, and it was a really cool event, and I hope you have a chance to check out their events in the future for your sports fan, because I had a really good time being there. Rob told some great stories, so we chatted about the Philadelphia Phillies offseason, chatted about him taking over the team, and chatted a little bit about his time in the Intercounty League. Here's my conversation with Philadelphia Phillies manager Rob Thompson.
So yeah, you're here. You're in London, obviously, coming off of a fantastic postseason run. What brings you to the city today, and what are you excited to chat about today with folks?
Well, I'm here at the Royal Canadian Legion, and we're going to talk to a few people about some baseball, and that's what I love to do. So it's going to be a good day.
Obviously, we're into an off season, coming off of a phenomenal postseason run for the Phillies. Got some not great news about Bryce Harper. Hoping to have him back sort of into the spring. What are the priorities you think for the team this offseason?
Well, we're looking at shoring up our infield a little bit. We need another starter, and we need a couple of bullpen pieces. But I think that's normal for most of the clubs. Not everyone's set right now. And so it'll take some time, and we're working hard at it. We got a lot of Zoom calls and a lot of text messages, a lot of travel, but we'll get it done.
What happened when you took over? Obviously, the team started playing a whole lot better when you became manager, had that great postseason run. What was the secret? What happened?
I think that we got off to a bad start coming out of spring training. We thought that we had a good club, and we did. So there was a lot of expectations, and once we got to the bad start, you know, I think guys lost a little confidence. May was probably the toughest part of our schedule. And then we got into June. That's when I took over, and it was the easiest part of our schedule. We started winning some games. Guys started getting confidence, and just kind of snowballed from there.
Some additions at the deadline as well. Brandon Marsh came in, kind of helped you solidify the center field spot there. Is that one of the things that you're looking at this offseason? Sort of some guys that can play a little bit in the field and sort of be plus defensive players.
So we shored up our defense at the trade deadline. Just adding Marsh center field. Obviously, we got JT Realmuto, and Segura was playing very well at second base, and we had Bryson Stott at shortstop. Plus, we picked up Edmundo Sosa, who was just an elite defender. So we really got better at the trade deadline defensively. And now, Segura is a free agent, so now we're looking at picking up either him or somebody like him that can shore up our infield defense.
Excellent. Well, Rob, thanks so much for coming to London. Any other Ontario baseball memories before I let you go? Stuff you think about when you were playing here when you were younger?
Just my days in the Intercounty. Yeah. You know, I played with a lot of guys. I was very young. I was 19 when I first started in the Intercounty, and played against a lot of guys that I looked up to and I knew. And it was my first real experience with playing with grown men, and it helped me out.
My conversation with Rob Thompson, who is the manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, coming off of an appearance in the World Series. Obviously, the baseball offseason hot stove is very much heating up, and the Phillies, I think, are one of the teams that are looking to spend a few bucks. So that is perhaps a situation that could impact the Toronto Blue Jays as well, as they are potentially looking to improve the roster and maybe spend a few dollars themselves. They opened up some money with the trade of Teoscar Hernandez. If the Blue Jays do not bring in some high-priced talent, I think that we all have the right to be very, very, very angry about the Teoscar Hernandez trade with the Seattle Mariners. Let's wrap up the Craig Needles podcast there. Before we do that, I do want to note that I wanted to talk about Bill 23. It was passed this week by the Ontario government. And I did note, and we talked about it on the podcast a little bit on Friday, near universal, not even near universal, just straight up universal condemnation from municipal councillors of every political stripe all over the province for Bill 23, saying it is a bad idea, it is not the right way to get housing, and it transfers the financial portion of getting that stuff set up for housing from developers to the people who are the ratepayers, the people who are paying property taxes, aka you and I. So I want to talk about that, but we're going to do it with AJ Ray coming up. And you may know AJ from the Twitter machine. He's going to chat with me on Thursday. And AJ is someone who is at Western University. He's studying this stuff and he knows the things that are going on with this particular situation pretty well. So AJ and I going to chat about that coming up on Thursday. I hope you can tune into that podcast if you're looking for Bill 23 analysis, because we will have lots of it. And AJ and I think may disagree on a couple of pieces of it as well. So that's coming up on the Craig Needles podcast on Thursday, which of course is brought to you by Lexus of London. Lifestyle with a drive. Your new Lexus is patiently waiting at the award-winning Lexus of London, 1065 Warrencliffe Road South, and online at lexusoflondon.com. Luxury defined. Again, you can check them out at lexusoflondon.com. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday into your Wednesday. More of the Craig Needles podcast coming up on Thursday, special three-episode week. We're doing a Friday roundtable podcast coming up this week as well. Former City Councilor Hollywood Cheryl Miller will be here to join us, assuming, of course, she has not been arrested for her boorish behavior at Committee of Adjustment. If you don't understand that reference, it's fine. We'll talk about it a little bit on Friday. Enjoy the rest of your day.
The Craig Needles Podcast is a presentation of the Blackburn Media Podcast Network.